Okay, I would like to call to order the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. Can we please all rise and join Michael Callahan in leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members of the board are present.
Great. Director Porter, can you hear us?
She's on. She can unmute herself.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So we have the board is all present. This is the time for public comment. If there's anybody that is on the line for the public, and we have several people on the line, this is a time for you to have... So this is going a little differently because of county health restrictions and state requirements. We have had to go back to a closed meeting, so please bear with us as we work through some of the technical aspects, because we want to be as open as possible to who you are. So I'm kind of getting cues from here and there, but if you would like to say something with regards to an item that is not on the agenda, apparently you can raise your hand, or and then somebody here will be able to see that and be able to unmute you and bring you into the conversation. So at this time, I will give it 30 seconds or so for anybody that has anything that they would like to discuss that's not an agendized item to please indicate that to us so we can hear what you have to say. One last chance. I'm seeing
nobody is
indicating that they want to speak on anything other than agendized items. And so at this point, I will close public comment. Thank you. Next up on our calendar is the consent calendar. Is there a motion to accept the consent calendar?
Can you pull that minutes for the 15th?
Oh, I'm sorry. Item one will be pulled from the consent calendar at this point. Because they're not available and ready to approve it at this time. So this would be an approval for consent calendar items 2 and 3.
I'll make a motion to approve items 2 and 3 from the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call vote. Things have changed since I was president last. Roll call vote, please. You guys all look at me like I was crazy. Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Gateau.
Aye.
Director Porter.
Aye.
President Graves.
Aye. Thank you. I'll get there. All right, this is our time for our area agencies report. I don't know if we have anybody on the line from Supervisor Burgess's office, do we? Is Leah out there?
Leah is not on the line.
Okay. Then we don't have anybody from there. And do we have anybody from the sheriff's office? Okay. Last chance. Okay, how about anybody from CHP? I actually saw them out here driving around tonight, so I'm a little bit surprised at that, but earlier today. And then how about anybody from East Contra Costa Fire Protection District? Okay. Presentations. At this time, I think I have a presentation. Is that correct, Dina? I would like to present our past president, Mr. Brian Gateau, with a little... memento of our appreciation. Let me get out here. Let's go out front there, Brian. A little memento of appreciation from the board and from the staff for your diligence and hard work during your time as president. I would like to present you with an honorary gavel. It says that with appreciation.
Is it okay? I put my mask on.
Oh, yeah. With appreciation for all you did for us when you served as president. You did a fine job. You learned quickly. You remember things that I have already forgotten. So we'll move forward. And thank you very much for your hard work. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank all the little people who make this possible. I'll be happy to grab
your
vote. Give him the bonus.
Yeah, I will.
I have one other item that I'd like to present to staff and to whoever's listening and to the board of directors. It's my pleasure and honor to congratulate Andy as the newest partner of Neumiller & Beardsley law firm. And it is my understanding that he has reached that faster than since 1903, is that correct? The fact he's achieved that goal faster than any other lawyer in the firm, and we just want to say how privileged we are to have you working for us, and congratulations in your new position. And it's a awesome thing that you've done to be able to get to that point at this time, and congratulations.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll move on to a presentation by Veolia.
Okay, you built last one.
Good evening, board. Can everybody hear me? Today I present to you the monthly report for December, closing out the year of 2021. At the end of the year, we were at 4,509 safe working days. That number keeps growing and we're very proud. Some of the safety topics we discussed was blood-borne pathogen safety, focus on office safety, Christmas holidays, fires, things like that that happen. The other families, the OSHA, we reviewed the OSHA top 10 violations in 2021, and our HAZCOM program was updated and revised. So on the next page, the current status of our water wells, all six wells are active, with well 5 being still in emergency status only. The next page, our water production and chemical usage for the month of December. Total water production was 44 million gallons for the month of December, and our sodium hypochlorite use was 1,822 gallons. The next page. Water compliance, we collected 20 coliform samples for the month. We did have two water quality complaints. Both were due to after investigation, and we conducted some hydrant flushing. After the peak flow season and the water usage drastically drops off towards the end of the year, the northern part of Newport Drive, Village 4 area, Lakeshore area, was seeing some water age. So we went out and did this call that led us to believe we had some other concerns. So instead of just responding to the one customer, we actually responded to that entire area to make sure we moved that water completely. So a great show of support that the customer actually called us directly. We jumped out there and handled it before it became a bigger issue. So I appreciate that. And that's what we're here for.
Where was that located?
That was, and I did not document the street on it, but that was in Lake Shore, the backside behind the lake.
Okay, because I think I did see something hit the social media about that, and then it just went away, so great job.
That's what we do. We try to make it folks have the clearest and prettiest water we can get them. So along with that, when we, to be efficient, and one of our goals is when we get a customer complaint, we also flush hydrants in the area to make sure that it doesn't spread. At the same time, we also conduct valve exercising, which is required. So instead of doing this one thing and going back to the office and coming back, we're saving the town a lot of money and a lot of time and operational expenses by going ahead and doing some of our other jobs in that area while we're there. So we kind of kill two or three birds with one stone. So if folks see us exercising valves in the midst of that, often it's not related to the customer complaint. It's us going ahead and taking that initiative and doing some extra work while we're there. So.
Fantastic.
The next page, our wastewater lift station status.
Question before you go to wastewater.
Oh, yes, sir.
Real quick, well, five. Mm-hmm. Why is it, I know you mentioned it before and I forgot. Why is that an emergency status?
So, out of all six wells that we have, it has the highest conductivity potential and it does have some strong organics, and which combined with too much chlorine can become TTHMs.
Wasn't there, I think we talked about it, you're going to look into the amount of rainwater and the groundwater situation affecting that? Is that still kind of?
That's correct. So, and that does help the investigation towards a lot of the study was focused on water softeners, old water softeners being the primary salt water generated pools and things like that. We're not seeing the conductivity as a permanent issue on the drinking water side. We're seeing it on the wastewater side as we outfall to the river. And so electrical conductivity is salinity, salt in the water is basically what that is. The wastewater plant is a design that is very expensive to try to pull salt out of water. That's essentially a reverse osmosis, and it's almost unheard of on the wastewater system. Generally, you would have to do something like that on the drinking water side, but that's not quite the case. What we've seen in recent studies is that our groundwater is actually increasing in conductivity, which is adding to that more so than potential softeners. On lift stations, all 15 lift stations are active and reporting good. Just to confirm, we did complete all of the emergency repairs on lift station E, and the new control panel is above ground. We eliminated that confined space requirement to enter it, and I think it looks pretty good up against that new house that looks like it finally sold on that corner. So,
what's the location of that lift station?
That is on the corner of a block down the street here. I can't remember that cross street. I'm still learning.
It's not that Cabrillo?
That's it.
Okay.
That's the one. The next page shows wastewater flow and chemicals. Our wastewater plant 1 is bypass, and wastewater plant 2 for the month of December showed 38 million gallons of flow. And we are still down. No chemical is being used because the digest pond is still being repaired. So no chemical use is there. On the next page, wastewater compliance. Pretty good, looking really good on our wastewater results. All of our numbers, BOD, TSS, are well with under their limits. Non-detect on our call forms, which is absolutely great. The one that we've always, and we just spoke about, and the one concern is the conductivity on the wastewater side. As you can see, our permitted limit is a rolling 12-month average of 2,400. And as of December, for the 12 months of 2021, we are at 2,389. And we're doing everything we can to slow that down, but this is just constantly going up. So we are looking at beginning negotiations with the state to, on behalf of the town, to look at our options for hopefully increasing that number on the permit. On the final page, no SSOs and no wastewater customer complaints. So any questions?
Any other questions from the board? Ashley, do you have anything you'd like to ask Director Porter? Okay. Anybody? Anything else? All right. Hey, thanks, Anthony. Great report. Appreciate it very much. Just one quick question. If I saw a graph of the last 3 years, where does our production fall? Is it higher, lower, about the same?
Up and down. Depends. So you're looking for annual flows.
I'm looking at what. Hold on. I'll tell you what brought that to mind when I get back to your report.
Okay.
When you talk about our production number of 44.38 in our water production.
On water. Okay.
Yeah. Are we staying at a pretty consistent? No anomalies.
Water consumption has been pretty steady. The biggest difference you see in any of the years is the difference in peak and off season.
Sure.
We're not seeing anything usage wise that we're pulling just out of the ordinary.
Right.
Now, what's going to be interesting is so far, I'm new to this area, new to this area of California in this environment, but I'm hearing that this year's rain events has been a little different than normal. So I am curious to see what that rain is, how that's going to affect our usage in the coming year in 2022. So.
And the reason I say that is because when we see a number like, and you mentioned a number of water production of 44.38, without it, something to compare it to, that doesn't mean much to us, right? I mean, okay,
would you like me to add a trend to that presentation where you can see?
I think in the past we've had some graphs that have helped us compare it.
That's
just
a good idea.
Yeah, okay. That would give us, otherwise we're just hearing a number and we're not relating it to anything.
That's right.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Great report. Thanks, Anthony. Okay, now to business and action items. Our first up business and action item is discussion of and possible board action to recommended changes, or possible changes, I should say, to the intersection of Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard. Do we have somebody from Caltrans on the line in case there's...
So, just to
make a comment at this point. So, first of all, we don't have video tonight, not because of anything that the town has done or not done, but because our provider has an issue with this particular area. We're trying to get that up and running, hopefully by the next meeting. So, we apologize to any of you who had tried to get on the webinar visually. We don't have the cameras working. Not because of us, but because of our provider. So at this point, I want to turn this item over to our assistant general manager, Mike Davies, who has been working on this project for a while and has some information for us.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, board. This matter involves the intersection of Discovery Bay Boulevard and Highway 4. At the last regular board meeting, which occurred on December 15, 2021, we presented the board with a possible change to the intersection, which in essence amounted to removing all the delineators, those poles, et cetera, that are in the middle of the intersection, and then taking the right turn only lane for westbound Highway 4 traffic, and making that a right turn or a through lane. In other words, remove the delineators from the intersection and traffic coming from Stockton going towards Safeway on Highway 4 could have two lanes of traffic traveling through that intersection, with the right lane also having an option to turn right. At that meeting, the board made a motion, directed staff to contact Caltrans and ask them to come up with some additional alternatives to the intersection that we could review. And staff did that, and staff met with Caltrans. And what was proposed is Caltrans essentially said they didn't really have any additional ideas, except what they would propose is adding to that scenario that the southbound number one lane of Discovery Bay Boulevard at the intersection. So in other words, the southbound lane of Discovery Bay Boulevard, you know, to heading out of town and turning onto Highway 4, that number one lane, which is a left turn on the light lane to head towards Stockton, could now be turned into either a left or a right turn at the green light for that lane. The right turn lane, which is a right turn only, we could still turn right on the red light. So that was an additional brought about for additional consideration by the board. And I asked a member of Caltrans, we have that person on the line, Nicholas Singh, to be here to answer any questions that you may have.
Great, thank you for that, Mike. Before we get into any discussion amongst the board, I think this would be the time to go to public comment and see if we have any public comment on this agenda item. Is there anybody out there? I have a hunch that there are at least one person or two that may want to talk on this subject. Is there somebody there that can raise their hand and be the first one to be called on? I hope we're successful in this.
Waiting to see. I've unmuted all participants.
Do you see Frank Morgan's
name? I see his name.
Frank, are you there?
But I don't see that he's unmuted himself, and I don't see any raised hands.
Okay. Just bear with us, guys, because I know you want to talk, and I don't want to move on until we give you that opportunity. I just texted Frank. And
he's unmuted him.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Hey, Frank.
Finally. Thank you. A button just popped up on my phone and allowed me to unmute.
Perfect.
So, first off, good evening, President Graves and fellow directors. This is Frank Morgan at 1700 River Lake Road. Tonight I come before the board once again to support the original Caltrans proposed striping design plan that was discussed on December 15th board meeting. However, tonight it's not just me sitting in the audience making the case for the original Caltrans plan. Tonight, I am joined by over 200 residents of Discovery Bay who are all outside the community center as we speak. I have just texted each of the directors a picture of We the People for your reference. We the People of Discovery Bay gathered on this cold Wednesday night to let the board know that we all support the original Caltrans plan. While other options were explored and discussed on December 15th and tonight, we still feel the original proposed striping design plan is the best plan that solves both the current safety issue of possible head-on collisions for traffic leaving Discovery Bay and the blighted look of the one main entrance we have to Discovery Bay. The original Caltrans plan would eliminate all of the yellow and white delineators. Without the 44 delineators, there will be no confusion for unfamiliar drivers that the northbound lanes of Discovery Bay are closed. No confusion means all the wrong way, do not enter, and one-way arrow signs could also be removed from the entrance from the center median and the northwest corner of Discovery Bay Boulevard. Any solution that does not remove all delineators and the wrong way signage is something that we the people do not support. I urge the board not to suffer from analysis paralysis and realize that this issue isn't even close. It's about a 95 to 5% issue throughout the community. Therefore, I respectfully request on behalf of We the People, the board cast a vote tonight in favor of the original proposed striping design plan presented to the board on December 15, 2021. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that very much. Is there anybody else that would like to speak to this issue? Please unmute yourself and make yourself known.
I again am unmuting all participants. I don't see anybody else opening, but let's give it a minute.
Okay.
Please.
Well, Frank did indicate to me earlier today in a conversation that they weren't all going to speak, that he was going to speak on behalf of them. So I'm thinking that's probably what's happened here. And we appreciate that, Frank, very much. Anybody else on that issue? Okay. I would now open this up to board discussion and welcome to the meeting, Mr. Nicholas Singh. Sir, are you there?
Hello, I hope you can hear me. This is Nicholas Singh from Caltrans.
We can hear you very well. Thank you very much for being here and taking your time tonight to be available to us.
Certainly, thank you for inviting me.
Does the board have any questions for Mr. Singh or any comments? Bear with us as we get through this process. We may or may not have questions for you up front, but we appreciate you being there, Mr. Singh. Does the board want to have any discussion on this item or have any questions for Mr. Singh?
I do.
Director Gateau.
Mr. Singh, Director Gateau here. Thank you for your time tonight. My question is a simple one. Has Caltrans looked at solely removing the yellow delineators as one possible solution without any change to the traffic flow? It seems like the biggest issue is the blight situation. And with the number of delineators, it's very confusing, I agree. But do we need to remove them all? Is there a simple solution of just removing partial of them? Have you looked at that?
I'll have to confer with my traffic engineers to see what sort of different options they looked at. Unfortunately, my two traffic engineers were unable to attend the meeting tonight, so I couldn't answer specifically how many different options they looked at. I know we had looked at different options in terms of delineators and striping. I'll have to get back to you specifically about whether they looked at just simply removing the yellow and white delineators.
Any of the other directors have any questions?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. This is Director Graham.
Hello, this is Carolyn Graham. Question for you. If we did remove all the delineators and change the traffic pattern for either solution that you've suggested, would there be any concern, any safety issues or traffic issues by not having the delineators there and making the change on proposal one or two, as you all have suggested?
Mr. Singh?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay, sorry.
Capture that question. Part of the change in removing the delineators. Comes with the restriping. Now, I mean, we could conceivably take it back to the way it was prior to anything being done. But then we would do the restriping in terms of putting in a right and left turn lane for the lane number one.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm sorry, this is Carolyn Graham again. I must have confused you. So with either of the proposals that you sent us, if the delineators are removed and the restriping you have suggested with either plan is done, would that be a safe issue for our citizens, and would there be any traffic issues?
Okay, yeah, both designs are designed with safety in mind, and they meet our current safety standards. So there is no issue with safety. We would not design or propose anything that would be unsafe.
I wouldn't think you would. Thank you.
Certainly.
Go ahead, Director Callahan.
Hi, this is Director Callahan. The question that I have is there any consideration for any type of signage or any type of notice that would allow the Discovery Bay Boulevard turning onto Highway 4, indicating that that is no longer a protected turn?
What we could do is prior to implementation or during implementation of the restriping, we could put a changeable message sign to alert drivers for a certain period of time to let them know of the change. We certainly don't want to just change something drastic and not let folks know what we're doing. So we could definitely put a portable method sign that would alert drivers.
Okay, thank you.
Director Porter, did you have any questions for Mr. Singh?
I think the one question I have is commute traffic and the concern that protected right-hand turn now will not be protected and they can go with a turn signal or not. Is there a way to increase the right-hand green arrow during heavy commute time so people aren't stuck getting out of Discovery Bay?
I will ask my traffic engineers if we can program the light to have longer greens at certain periods of time. I'll double check with them to see what the peak times are, but if you have an idea of what your peak traffic times are.
I would say probably in the mornings, Monday through Friday, you know, people are trying to get out of here to commute, so probably somewhere between 5:30 and 8:30. If I
because
were
of school.
To guess commute times.
Okay, 5:30 to 8 a.m.
I would go to 8:30 because it's also the parents taking their kids to school. That gets backed up all the way to Clipper on a regular morning. Now, things are different right now because of COVID, of course, so it what's effective today may not be the same way next year, depending on how this all goes, and we don't know how it's going to go. So it's a difficult thing to address in kind of an anomaly situation that we're in. Dr. Porter, did you have anything else for Mr. Singh?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Mr. Singh, I have a couple things. First of all, when was the last time a traffic study was done on that intersection?
I'll have to get back to you and let you know that.
Okay. When I moved out here in 1994, there was no traffic light, there was no stop sign, there was no turn lane. You just did it. As the town grew and as traffic increased and commuting back and forth on Highway 4 has gotten much more, much heavier, obviously Caltrans saw a need for safety to put in a left-hand turn light for those people trying to get across Highway 4, for the people entering and for exiting. And I'm sure at that point in time, at the construction of that intersection as to what it is today, there must have been a traffic study done so you could see what the traffic patterns were. Isn't that how Caltrans operates?
Yes.
Okay. So then I'm concerned that we're looking at making a major change to the traffic from the egress, entrance, and exit of Discovery Bay without doing a traffic study to really analyze
what the impact is going to be on the 4,000 or so residents that have been used to a traffic pattern that now would be addressing a completely different traffic pattern. Would you do that without doing a complete traffic study on the intersection?
Well, I have to ask my traffic engineers to see how much of a change that they think this is going to make, and if it warrants a full traffic study.
Well,
I'll certainly ask them.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then my other input on this is that you're creating a bottleneck. You have 1,200. My understanding is that there's a 600-foot right-hand turn. Oh, two more things. 600-foot right-hand turn lane that currently exists coming from the east, westbound. And then eastbound out of Discovery Bay Boulevard, you have another 600-foot merge lane, which is very effective if it's used properly. Not everybody understands how merge lanes work, but a good portion of the people do, and it helps get traffic out of town expeditiously. You're creating a bottleneck by going from, for a period of 200 feet, 1,200 feet plus the intersection, you're going to four lanes and back to two. Whenever you reduce lanes, it creates traffic, correct? Especially during peak traffic times?
I'll have to let my traffic engineer speak to that.
Okay. Well, I'll just use common sense and say whenever you reduce two lanes to one, I spend enough time on the road to realize that backs up traffic. And my concern is with the people that come in from Stockton to get to their jobs on time, they will be doing whatever they can to get through that light while it's green, and then it will be backed up to the boulevard with cars that are merging into one lane again, making it even more difficult for people leaving Discovery Bay to get onto Highway 4, because now you've got a backup of cars that are there. That's why I'm thinking a traffic study probably would be a good idea prior to any action being taken, because it does affect the majority of the traffic, of the citizens that live in Discovery Bay. So the other issue I have is that the way that my belief is one of the reasons that those lanes are the way they are is because we have landscaping that runs right up to the edge of the highway. I have landscaping crews that are going to be working now within feet of people going 50, 55, 60 miles an hour on Highway 4 because you have now opened that lane up to where our main landscaping for the entrance to Discovery Bay is, which is part of the issue here. And I'm going to have guys working, trimming the grass, working on the bushes, mowing the grass within feet of people going 50 to 55 miles an hour. Has that been considered as a safety issue?
I'll ask my traffic study.
Perfect. That's all I have. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to add or comment on? I see none. Sir, I thank you so much for indulging us tonight and listening to us and hearing our concerns, and we look forward to having you get back to us with some of the answers to some of those questions.
Certainly. Is there a specific email that I should use to present these?
Yeah. I think, have you been corresponding with Mike Davies?
Yes.
Okay. He's our assistant general manager. I would go ahead and encourage you to continue to communicate with him. He's been on this from the very beginning, and he will understand what you're talking about probably better than anybody else. So,
okay.
Go ahead and continue to communicate with him as you address these issues, and then but we do appreciate your time and thank you for coming on and hearing our concerns and our questions.
Certainly.
Thank you very much, Mr. Singh.
All right. Yeah, good evening. Bye.
All right. Thank you, sir. Is anybody at this point in time ready to take any action on this item?
I am not.
No, I don't think we should.
I think we need more information. Director Callahan,
do you agree?
I'm in control.
Okay. All right. So we will table this item for a future agenda item. Thank you, Mike, for putting that together for us. And you've heard what we expect back, and thank you for that.
All right, moving to item number two, discussion and possible action authorizing Ludolph and Skolmany to provide design and construction engineering services. This is all about well number eight. And who's going to talk to me about that? Mike Urraca, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well we can. Good evening, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Good evening. Thank you all very much. This agenda item, this project, has a couple of different facets to it. The board has already approved or authorized consultant Harrison Associates to perform the CEQA work required for this project. And the other facet, as the board is aware, is the...
Okay, hold on 1 minute, Mike. We have to mute some. Okay, we good? All right, we added some open mics. Go ahead, Mike. Are you still there? We muted Mike too. Are you out in front, Mike?
Okay, I thought you didn't want to hear from me.
No, sorry. We had some open mics. Go ahead, sir.
Understood. So the other facet is, of course, the purchase of the land for well 8 from the Pantages folks. And then this item that's before you tonight is for Ludolph and Skolmany to actually prepare the design for the well and the well pump station and treatment system and to oversee the construction activities. There's the four items or tasks that are listed there in the staff report: project coordination, administration, regulatory permitting, production well design and construction, and then the well pump station design and construction, which again will include the treatment system. The cost for this, $357,998 plus a 10% contingency, is included in the overall budget for the project. The proposed action is for the board to authorize the general manager to execute the town's standard form of professional services agreement, but that would only take place with an effective date of that contract once the board approved the purchase of the well site property. We, as I mentioned, there's different facets to this project, and we're bringing them to you as we complete each one. And so this one was completed, and so we decided to go ahead and bring it to the board for approval. But the board action would be that no work would start on this until the board also approves in the future purchase of the well site once that agreement is brought to the board at a subsequent board meeting. So with that, I will entertain any questions you may have.
Any questions from the board?
No.
Director Porter?
Is that
a no?
I think it was a no. How
did
you say that one more
time?
It's a no.
Yeah, it's a no. How long is it before we enter, General Manager mm-hmm. Breitstein? When is it so hard for me to say? Dina, when is it that, how soon is it before we expect to have any action on the land?
We're probably going to be bringing it to the February 2nd meeting as
okay.
a closed session item.
All right. So we're approving this so we can move forward immediately upon that being resolved.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Great. I think that's what you said, Mike, but I just wanted to be clear.
Yes.
Okay.
That's accurate.
I just have a clarifying question.
Director Gateau.
Well, it's been about 2 years since we talked about this last. Mm-hmm. I don't remember us having to purchase the property from Pantages. Is that a...
We haven't yet. We're going to be bringing that as a closed session item on the February 2nd meeting.
Okay.
So we've always discussed the lot. We put a monitoring well there, and so we're in negotiations with Pantages / Polte Homes, and then we'll be bringing that back to you as closed session.
What was the financial contribution from Pantages for us to move forward? Weren't they going to pay for a portion of this? Or no?
No. They weren't going to, I don't believe they were going to pay for a portion of this.
Being that I'm on the Water Wastewater Committee and it hasn't gotten out of committee yet because we're not ready to bring it to the board, but there has been some back and forth discussion with the owners about how they wanted to handle it.
There's also been a transition on who the owners of the property are, as they're moving to a different developer, most likely, which you may be familiar with. And so it's been a little bit, it's been great. We're negotiating, and our team is doing a great job negotiating it, and I believe the board is going to be very satisfied and happy with the result.
So more to come.
More to come. Because we don't have any information on that yet, but as you know, when it comes to property, we don't like to disclose too much. So, can I entertain a motion?
Just real quick, I'm sorry, one more clarifying question. What happens to this contract in the event that the whole negotiation blows up and Pantages says you can't have the property?
I agree.
Is there a contingency for that?
Go ahead, Mike.
We wouldn't execute the contract.
Okay.
That was part of what he had said. This is all pending. Okay. Everything falls into place.
I just wanted to make sure that it was in there. That
I'm with
it was.
You.
It is. Okay.
I'm
with you. Recommended action part B, the last line.
Thank you for reading that for me.
Okay. I entertain a motion to accept staff recommendation on this, if somebody wants to do that. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. It's been a while. I'm getting it. At some point, I'm going to have to quit apologizing and just say I'm dumb. So this is the time for public comment. Does anybody have any out there that's listening have any comment with regards to this particular item? The board would love to hear from you.
There are no attendees on the line at this time.
Oh, see? Nobody even knew I called myself stupid. That's pretty good. All right, except for you guys.
And believe we noted it.
No. And self-effacing has always been a good ploy, right?
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Gatteau.
Aye.
Vice President Porter.
Aye.
President Graves.
Aye. Great, thank you. Now let me get back to my agenda real quick here, guys. And the last item I believe that we have is not there. Here it is. I'm on the wrong agenda. Sorry, guys. All right. Item 3, discussion and possible action regarding the Independent Special District Selection Committee and Special District Representation on LAFCO. Staff.
Yes. The district received correspondence on January 7th from LAFCO to name a presiding officer and appoint an alternate for the ISDC-SC and consider nominating a candidate for the two expiring regular special district member seats on LAFCO. I'd like you to note that both current LAFCO members are running for reappointment, and they have been on the board for a very long time. President Graves is the regular special district member, and staff is looking to appoint the district vice president, who is Director Porter, as the district alternate voting delegate. Staff is also asking the board if they would like to solicit a member interest to fill the upcoming special district seat, and we have prepared a resolution for submittal if you choose a member.
Does anybody on the board want to volunteer to run for a LAFCO seat?
I was going to suggest you.
No, thank you. I mean, I would love to be part of LAFCO, but based on the situation and my time and availability, I'm looking forward to going to their meeting. So I appreciate that. But these guys, I've been to LAFCO meetings, and these guys are pretty well ensconced. They know what they're doing. But thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We're looking for approval of staff recommendation here, are we?
We're looking for
automatically happen.
Item 1 then. Okay. So if we're not going to solicit a member, then we don't need to do number 2 or 3, the resolution. So we would appoint then Vice President Ashley Porter as the district's alternate voting delegate to the Independent Special District Selection Committee.
I move that we appoint Ashley Porter to the LAFCO Special Committee to fill in if Kevin Graves is not in attendance.
I think that's correct. Any further discussion by the board? Is there a second?
A second.
Fantastic.
Roll call.
Public comment.
Can I get any public comment on this? I was going to say that. Is there any public comment? Oh, there's no public on the call. Is that correct?
Let me double check one more time. You never know. There is no public
okay.
on the call.
So I will ask, though, is there any public comment? Okay, not hearing any, I will close public comment on this item. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Butella.
Aye.
Vice President Porter.
Aye.
President Graves.
Aye. Great. Motion carries. Manager's report. Mr. Bill, you have a couple of items for us.
Good evening. The synthetic turf project at the pool slated to begin January 31st.
Excellent.
There'll be a few weeks of grading and prep work, and there'll be a little bit of downtime, a week or two, and then first week of March is when the turf will be laid. Everything will be completed by the end of March.
Okay, so at that point, everything is done. I'm asking a question. Is everything done at that point in time, other than, I guess, seating and umbrellas and...
Yeah, we're still actually waiting for final inspection. Out of school has been very diligent about that.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed them again today.
Mm-hmm.
We had our appointment. The county canceled. No explanation as to why. And they have been reaching out continuously to get another date, and they're not getting a response. So I reached out today to say, who do we go above that to get our final? But as of this evening, I have not heard back from Adams Pool yet, but that was just today. So we don't have our final inspection yet. That's a big thing. And then yes, furniture, those kinds of things, and then hiring staff, which I am actually already working on. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
What,
any other questions?
Just with quick question as it comes to mind, what percentage payment are we up with Adams at this point? Do we know? Anybody know?
I think it's just the retention, but I'm not sure.
So they're, because they're 95% complete. They're 100% complete, I guess, at
yeah.
this point. Are they 100%
yes.
complete?
Uh-huh.
But it's pending the sign-off, in case they have to come back and do something to satisfy the county. So we have the retention for that.
Yes. I believe so. I could check on that in the morning with my staff.
That's fine. I just was curious.
They have not been paid 100%.
Let me ask you this. Overall, you pretty much... project manage that project, correct, Monica? So how are you satisfied with, based on the fact that come and go and stop and start and all that kind of stuff and all the challenges and weather and all that, were you satisfied with the service that you got from Adams Pool?
I really was.
Okay.
They were very easy to work with. Everything that didn't get done, it was COVID, but they were very responsive. Any time to this day that I call them, text, we developed a fantastic working relationship with Adams. I was very happy.
I just want to know that. And Mike, you worked with them, especially at the very beginning, because it was difficult. Do you have anything to say on that for the record?
I mean, I can't say enough good things about Adams Pool.
Great.
One of the things was, remember, they started the project, and then we delayed it to look at, and they stood by their... you know, original promise to do whatever we needed, and I think that this was an outstanding organization to work with.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to get that on the record. I didn't know what the response was going to be, but I wanted to get your guys' feedback and get it on the record. Bill, you have another item for us.
Yeah, one more. The dog park drainage correction project, I guess you could call, will start on Monday. Probably take a week, maybe a couple days longer. In the meantime, the small dog park will be open to both small, medium, and large dogs.
Okay, we appreciate that. We'll see how that drainage thing goes.
Okay.
How big a project is that going to be?
Fairly big. I mean, there'll be a new drainage inlet at the bottom of the slope, tying into a drainage outlet.
The storm drain.
Storm drain.
Assuming everything goes perfectly and plan, you anticipate a couple of weeks before the park can reopen, or?
As soon as they're done, which is about 5 to 7 days, if there's no reason it can't open.
Okay.
Right after that.
Will you be seeding that area around the tree then, or you're not going to bring turf in?
No, we'll seed it.
We'll seed it. So you'll probably keep the fence up at the perimeter to keep the dogs off that area until it's grows. So there'll be an orange circle around that area to give the grass an opportunity to grow.
Correct.
Well, I think that everybody will be very happy to deal with that as long as they're cleaning the mud up off their dog's feet all the time. So. Appreciate that, Phil. Thank you very much.
And that'll solve the conductivity problem you're having, I'm sure.
Yeah. There you go, Michael.
See, I'm learning.
I'm not commenting on that. Thank you very much. Is there a general manager's report?
No report today.
We did have a standing committee report today. Director Gateau, would you like to report on that?
Yeah, Park and Rec had a meeting today, and we discussed a couple different items. We chatted about Mr. Bill Ugman has a proposal for revamping the Willow Lake and River Lake Island. So we discussed that, and he'll be bringing something back to the Finance Committee for funding it, and then back to the Board for approval. We had a conversation regarding the potential fee increase at the community center for the pool usage. No action was taken with that, just a discussion. And we discussed the graffiti at the Cornell Park bathrooms. Staff needs to bring back to the Board some additional information, but we were just looking at ways of mitigating or possibly removing. And then lastly, we looked at the community guide. So the new community guide is out, and I encourage everybody to take a copy home with them, because we have a lot of them. And that's my report.
Thank you very much. Anything else from any of the directors? Yes.
Yes. Dina and I had a Zoom call with the Lakeshore HOA. If you remember, we had talked about working to increase communication with the lakes and Lakeshore. It was a very good call. They are going to allow us to post events and important announcements on their Facebook page and in their newsletter, and they're going to be emailing us a list of what issues they're having now, and so we can see what we can do to assist them. Again, it went quite well, and now we need to do the same meeting with the lakes.
Nice. Well, hey, I want to thank you both for doing that, and Carolyn for setting that up, because I believe that the more contact and the more we can develop relationship with Discovery Bay West is beneficial to everybody involved, and we want them to feel like a part of the town, but we also want to make them aware of the things that are going on. So thank you for that, initiating that communication. Regional meetings, actually I did attend a couple. I'll turn in my written reports. The only one that is of note that I want to comment on is the ECC-FPD merger, the consolidation that's supposed to be happening with Confire. It was put a little bit on hold because LAFCO was having some issues. They have to approve it, and LAFCO had some technical issues and some other issues that had kept them from being able to move forward on the timeline that they are supposed to be moving forward on. So they're working with their attorneys to make, because you have to post all these things and make all these notifications. And so it got kicked over because of technical problems. The good news is it's not because of there's any change in negotiation or agreements or anything like that. It was strictly a technical issue. The other interesting thing that came up, though, is that some of because ECCFPD was running so mean and lean, their administrative staff is being paid more than somebody with the same title or level at Confire, because they have a much larger administrative staff, and so they have less responsibility. So there's an issue with the union that is being negotiated and worked out with the current employees, because they're saying, hey, they're looking at $1,000 a month cut. Well, that's $12,000 a year. That's Not good. So that's a little bit of a stumbling block with regards to retention of employees, but they are working that out with the union. But I thought it was interesting because I do know that ECCFPD was running as mean and lean as they possibly could, so they were taking on much more responsibility for the same position, and we appreciate that. That was really the only things of note from the ECCFPD meeting, which is the thing that concerns us the most at this point with regards to safety. Any correspondence? None. Future agenda items. Do anybody have any future agenda items? I have one. For the next meeting, I would like to put an action item together for the establishment of an ad hoc committee with the specific purpose of investigating and looking at the feasibility of building new offices for the town of Discovery Bay. I think it should, and so we'll discuss it at that time, but if you could just put that on the, did I say that right, Andy? If we could just put that on for a future agenda item, then we can discuss that at the next meeting. Director Porter, anything from you?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, with that, I will adjourn the meeting, and thank you all for being here.